A little bit of Elton John to round out the afternoon of the 90s here on KSDP. This is Virgil, and we are going to take a break from the music of this afternoon and hold an interview. I have Nate Julian here in the studio live at KSDP with me. We're going to be speaking about a handful of the projects, or actually one major project he's adopted since coming to Sandpoint and teaching at the school. He's a Sandpoint school's science teacher, and he's adopted the hatchery and is trying to resurrect it, bring it back to life. Let me give you your microphone on there, Nate, and welcome to KSDP.
Well, thanks for having me in, Virgil. Yeah, a little bit about my background. I'm originally from southern Indiana. Grew up there, went to military right out of high school, and then ended up in Montana, where I went to school at MSU, Montana State University, there in Bozeman, and got my teaching degree for science, general science. And then the day after we graduated, got a call from, actually it was Mr. Lindquist over in King Cove at the time, with the job offer and interview. So we've been up here for 2.5 years now, and just been working on the hatchery since I got here, basically. Since I stepped off the plane, we went down and checked it out. So,
and how were you introduced to the hatchery? What first made you aware of it?
They actually asked me about it in the job interview. They said, would you be interested in doing something like this? Would you have the knowledge to bring this thing back, because it was such an important part of the community? And I do have a strong biology background, but I'm from Indiana, so I didn't really know anything about salmon. So I've been learning along the way.
You got to be a deckhand with Brian Russell on the Megan Nicole this last summer. Is that experience in the commercial aspect of the fishery and being out on the water and dealing with salmon, at least picking some out of the net, that help with any, I guess, taking a look at the larger issues that working with the hatchery would have?
Yeah, definitely. It just kind of gave me – the main reason I wanted to do it is to kind of see more where the kids were coming from, where the community was coming from in terms of fishing and what it was all about, and also just to kind of get off the island and see some of the surrounding area that you don't normally get to see. And yeah, definitely the salmon aspect of it helped out quite a bit.
Now, give us a little bit. I know you're probably not the caretaker of the history, but I'm sure that you've learned a lot. Can you tell us a little bit of background about the hatchery and maybe when it started and when it kind of fell out of use?
Yeah, so the hatchery project started initially in the early 70s. They had half of the building that's there now, basically, that the side of the if you're looking at the front of the hatchery building, the left-hand side is an add-on later. And they ran it all through the 70s and 80s, and in the early 90s, I believe, is when it started to fall out of use. They had, I guess they just didn't have science teachers that were interested in it, to utilize it. And then they also had, a pretty bad, flood in the building. So, one of the main water pipes coming into the building, had cracked over the winter, and when it thawed out in the spring, that's a gravity feed system, so basically the reservoir is draining into the hatchery building at that point. So when I got a hold of it, it was basically an abandoned building.
Yeah, I'd seen the structure there. And do you want to give a little bit of description of the layout of where it sits? It's right on Humboldt Creek, which is the creek that's right out here by the harbor and by Trident Seafoods. And it sits right at what's kind of – it's like at the head of the creek, I guess would be the term, right before the reservoir?
Yeah, it's right before you get up to the reservoir. So that dam is actually where our feed pipe comes down through there. Mm-hmm. It goes underground and then comes up again right in front of the hatchery there. And we are situated right next to Humboldt Creek. We actually have part of the creek goes under part of our deck back there. So it's right there on the water.
All righty. So now with the permits, I was reading a little bit about the hatchery permitting process on the Fish and Game, Alaska Department of Fish and Game's website. Looks like a pretty in-depth, complex routine. How's your experience been bringing the permitting back up to, a living permit.
Yeah. So we started, I started 2 years ago, basically, trying to get the paperwork to get this place back operational again. And I had to start from scratch, basically, because we went and we looked back for the old permits that they had had in the past, and somehow they'd all been lost. So we started from square one. I had to submit a map of the area, exactly where it was situated, the layout of the hatchery, all the stuff we have there, our educational plan for the hatchery, how it fits into the community, basically just reasons why we should be allowed to have a vocational hatchery here, because we're basically starting from scratch. Even though we've had it here historically, they treat it like it was from scratch since there were no permits.
Gotcha. Now, do you have a specific biologist you're working with out of Kodiak, or do you have somebody here locally that's going to be touching base with you from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game?
Yeah, so we've got our permitting agent is in Juneau, and I've been working with her a little bit just to get in contact with some of the people around the state. And we do have local Fish and Wildlife here during the summer. They're not here right now, but I'll definitely be touching base with them this next summer just to kind of try and pin down our dates a little bit better. We got our permits a little too late this year to do silvers. And next year we're going to start right at the beginning of the school year with pinks, and we're also going to put a permit in for silvers.
All righty. And I guess that leads right up into my next list of questions. What species are you going to raise? Now, historically, was it pinks and silvers that were there?
Yeah, they had raised both of them in the past. The state only allows three different species. They allow the pinks, the silvers, and the dogs. For some reason, I think it has something to do with hatchery-raised reds tend to have disease more prevalent, so we're not allowed to raise those.
Now, I was curious about the release locations. Are these anything that's raised in the hatchery, are they going to be released just in the reservoir, or would you be able to drop them at other sites?
We are allowed to drop them on the same site that we take from. So if we take from Humboldt Creek there, we actually would take them up to the upper reservoir, and if they were silvers, we would put them in the reservoir there, and they would let them mature for another year before they headed back downstream. The pinks we'd release, and then they would go right downstream that same year, and then hopefully return to that same location then.
Now, are there any, have you looked forward into, now, the Milton egg collection, so this is taken locally.
Right. So to release it locally, we have to take locally.
Okay. I wasn't sure whether they sourced you Milton eggs from, you know, a centralized place, or it's just the local stock.
So they also run another program through Fish and Wildlife where it's an incubator in the classroom for fish. You can raise up to 500 eggs in the classroom. And we did do that last year. The problem was that since we got the fertilized eggs from Anchorage, from Fort Richardson Hatchery, we actually had to destroy the fish at the end of the year. We could not release them into our waters because they were worried about it maybe contaminating the stock here. So we had to destroy those. And this year we were going to take our own fish and then do that incubation project in the classroom. But again, we got our permits a little bit too late, so we'll have to wait till next fall.
Alrighty. So some of the students have already seen a little bit of, I guess, the biological process.
Right.
They've had a chance to touch on that. Now, have you ever thought about going and collecting, you know, fish from other locations and, you know, expanding it? Or is this just the first step of just getting the physical hatchery in Humboldt Creek running?
Right. Yeah. We just want to get our base established again, basically, and then talk with Fish and Game to see what else we could possibly do with that. But for right now, we're just focused on the actual hatchery site.
All right. Now, what type of work, how much work is left to do on the site? You said that it had a flood. It hadn't been used in a handful of years. I know you've had a chance to touch it. What work do you have left to be done on the site?
So since I've got here, we've had our marine biology class work down there basically to bring that place back to life. They've put a new roof on the building, added a new deck, repaired the part of the deck that was missing, completely redone the interior. There was black mold everywhere, so we had to go through and kill all that and then repaint and put in new pipes, basically, because those old feed pipes had broken from the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to rebuild all that routing of the water back into it. And we still have a little bit to do in there, but we were ready this year. I mean, if we would have had the permits earlier, we could have done it this year.
Right. And you had specified the building itself is owned by the borough.
Right.
And then the school administers the program and
right.
the permits and all of that.
Yeah.
And so you have support from the Aleutians East Borough in terms of they're there to help you out with, you know, improving the building or resurrecting it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, they did a lot of work last summer just getting those basic things I was talking about, the roof and the deck were the two main things.
And that's Jim Brown that does maintenance and everything?
Right. Yeah. And he hired a couple other people to help out with that as
right
well.
Right on. That's cool. Now I'd noted that, so to be able to tell the difference, you have to mark every one of these fish that you release.
No, we don't have to mark. If, as long as we take them out of the creek and put them back in the same creek,
right.
we do not have to mark them. We do have to take, if they're silvers, we have to take the kidneys out of the females and we have to send those into the state to get them tested for, can't remember exactly what disease it is, but there is a disease that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do take fish, they want to know about that. They want us to send in the but there has been marking programs in the past, so that would be something that we definitely want to do just to kind of see what our own rate of return is.
Right. And now what type of technology would you tag or mark these things with?
Basically, it's a have you ever seen the what they put price tags on clothes with at the store?
Oh yeah, the little punch and
it's got a little plastic tag that goes in, right?
Okay,
so you basically just tag the fish with one of those, but they're specially designed for.
And then that would be up to either anybody that was doing subsistence harvest or commercial harvest. If you saw one of these tags, save it.
Yeah, that or any that we see coming back in the coming years. So we do survey the stream. That's we've had the students survey the stream, take depth measurements, flow measurements, temperature readings, everything up and down that. We have it marked off in 10-meter segments, and they go through and they do that probably two or three times a semester.
All righty. Now, how many actual smolt are you going to be raising?
We can raise up to 50,000 at a time.
All right.
Our permit this year was only for 8, but that's just because we were getting started. So eventually we'll be up to full speed at 50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
that sounds like it would have a pretty incredible impact on at least just the local fishery as far as abundance.
Well, it would be nice to, get because our silver run up Humboldt has been really a lot less lately than it has historically.
Right.
But even 50,000, if it sounds like a lot, that's maybe 8 breeding pairs. So it's not a whole lot of fish. And for return, you've only got about 2% of those that actually survive to adulthood come back and spawn again.
Okay.
So 2% of 50,000, it's more than there were, basically.
Right. You know? Now, you had just mentioned looking at the historical returns, and could you see, if you looked at any of that data, could you see where the hatchery had kind of stopped producing and whether there was a dip in the silver return?
Only anecdotal stuff, because I haven't been here long enough, really, to know, and there's not a whole lot of record anymore. But I have talked to people that say that it did go down after the hatchery program stopped,
right?
Especially for silvers.
So casually, you know, people have inferred that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So I guess one of my questions is a big one: is since this has kind of fallen off the radar, and you've brought it back, or in the process of fully bringing it back. What are your plans for continuance? Are you working with anyone to ensure the hatchery stays operating if you depart the school district?
Right. So we have had a whole generation of people that were raised with that hatchery, and had lots of help from them, and also my students. So I've got Edwin Gunderson will be graduating this year,
mm-hmm.
and I know he's taken pride in the entire process so far. He's been basically my right hand student for the process. He knows a lot more about salmon than I do. So, but he's already offered to help keep it going. And I've got just those students that kind of come in and are going to help in the future.
Right, and we'll be point people and people with knowledge of the project.
Absolutely, yeah, that have firsthand knowledge of it. And then we've also made sure that the permits and everything are going to be continued. We've got those in a safe place now in multiple locations, so we don't have to go through the whole process again.
Now, what are your educational goals for the hatchery? How does this intertwine with a biology or science curriculum?
So the kids can actually see the entire life cycle of the salmon from, you know, milt and eggs to returning fish. And I think it kind of gives them a little bit broader range of knowledge, because normally they only see at the end stage there when they're catching fish in their nets. Now they see, hey, we have to stay out of these creeks and stuff in the wintertime because that's where the eggs are sitting there. If you ride your four-wheeler through there, you're probably destroying eggs that could come back.
Right.
Just basic environmental stuff like that, and just being more aware of you know, where the fish that provide the livelihood for this community come from. So kind of a different couple of those different aspects.
Now, what students get to be involved in this project?
So right now I have it limited to students that are concurrently taking biology or have taken biology. Mm-hmm. Just because when we started, it was not the safest place. So I didn't want any younger students down there until we kind of got it cleaned up. We will eventually be opening it up to at least all of the high school and probably the middle school. We have, with that classroom incubation project, one of our goals for that is to put it on a mobile cart. And we will have that move from elementary classroom to elementary classroom for weeks at a time so they can all kind of see the process and all take part in it, feeding the fish and keeping the tanks clean, stuff like that. So we want to encourage everyone to be involved in it. But as for taking the class, it is a high school class, so I have to limit it to that group of kids for right now.
Okay. And due to the structure and the liability issues, it's kind of been teed off to some of the older students.
Yeah, mostly just the older students right now, but we will start incorporating those younger students in the future.
All righty. That's about it. I really appreciate it. That hatchery, I'd seen the building for a while, and I had heard tales of it.
Right.
And it's really neat to see it come back up. So you think this fall you'll be able to go in. How will you catch your fish?
Basically, we'll just wade the stream and go with a dip net. And round haul some fish right out of the creek there.
Alrighty. Now, how many will you actually gather up?
Depends on what our permit allows. This year, we would have been able to get two breeding pairs, so four fish total. And like I said, we can have up to probably eight to ten fish at a time. Breeding pairs, so 20 fish is what we'd have.
Alrighty. Now, do you have any requests from the community? Is there anything that would help this project flourish? That's pumps, volunteers, tanks. I'm not sure what materials you would need or you would be seeking.
Everything we've already asked for from the community, they've done an outstanding job of providing it. Everyone I've talked to has just been happy to see that someone's working in the building again and trying to get it back up and running. And I can just tell from the people that I meet that it was a really important part of the community and part of their education, and they just want to see it come back. As for materials and stuff like that, I have the kids go on little hunting expeditions for things we need. So we're pretty well stocked with that. But once we get it up and running, we'll probably need a couple things. But until that point, I just want to say thank you to the community for all they've already done for us.
All righty. Nate Julian, Sandpoint School's science teacher, also the latest caretaker for the Sandpoint Hatchery. Does it actually have a name, or is it the Humboldt Hatchery?
It is officially the Sandpoint School Aquaculture Building.
Awesome.
There you go.
Aquaculture it is. All right. Thanks for coming and visiting KSDP. I appreciate it, Nate.
All right. Thanks for having me, Virgil.
And maybe we can get an update this next fall.
Absolutely, yeah. And hopefully we'll have some fish in there.
Maybe go and take a tour and see how things are faring.
Sounds good.
All righty. Thank you so much for your patience, KSDP, and listening ears. That's about it. We're going to let you go back to the music. It is Wednesday, November 21st, right about 1:30. Here's Prince, Thieves in the Temple.